Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Hey, welcome to our show, episode 460, as we share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her decades, 8 decades of rockin' fitness and a healthy lifestyle. This is such a special show. And I know for a fact that this is really going to touch you in your life. Before we begin, just know that the episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. Hey, listen, Solaray has a special gift for women, the new award-winning Her Life Stages products. And they provide support all the way through your hormonal journey, from the menstrual years, including PMS, to perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. This is an integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about her life stages, run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y.com, and use promo code HER20 for 20% off. You'll be glad you did. And here's a reminder to click on iTunes after this show to rate and review it, because our entire HER podcast team loves your feedback. All right, it's time for HER.
HER, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, when I do this podcast, and most of the time, it's just really hanging out with some of the coolest people ever. And especially if it means people I've known for a long time. And today, it is Joy Prouty. Who is this woman and why is she on? Well, we're talking about a fitness icon who's been rocking at least 8 decades of staying strong mentally, physically, and spiritually. So Joy Prouty is the director of education and programming and training for Zumba Fitness. Oh my goodness. How many of you still have your Zumba outfits? How many of you still go to Zumba? Oh my gosh, I was just trying to keep my legs straight when I was doing Zumba class a little while ago. She's also the co-developer of the Zumba Gold program. I was on one of those damn CDs, I remember, and was featured in the Zumba Gold Live It Up consumer DVDs. Now get this. Now hold on now. Here it comes. Joy is a former Radio City Music Hall Rockette. She's an internationally renowned fitness instructor, trainer, and educator, and has been known for her innovative teaching style and program development for over 40 years. And, you know, I've known Joy for a very long time because of our work with the American College of Sports Medicine. I'm on their board, and I've been with them for a long time. And also with IDEA and Zumba, and it goes on and on. Just amazing work. And when I think of you, Joy, I just think you give women hope that they could keep it rocking for their lifetime. So Joy, welcome to the Her Podcast. We want to know how you do it. Come on now, you know.
I am delighted to be part of your podcast and to be speaking with you and the wonderful people that are listening in.
You know, a lot of people, and this is really an important concept here, a lot of people look at someone like you who is very fit. And how old are you now?
I'm 82. I'll be 83 in March.
There you go. What I can tell you is that everyone can just go ahead and Google Joy Prouty, P-R-O-U-T-Y, and you'll be able to look at this gorgeous woman, 82, almost 83. And many people may say, oh, she's had it easy all her life. You know, it always came easy to her. She really hasn't had to work it. You know, people like that, they could never be able to relate to someone like me. Okay, tell me the truth then, Joy. What is the truth?
So the truth is that life has its ups and downs, and it's your attitude and what you're made of that kind of leads you through the ups and downs. And I think at my age, to say that it's been totally easy, I mean, I just take it each day. But I was born in Pittsburgh. I was a Pittsburgh girl. I was a dancer. I moved to New York. I did all kinds of wonderful things. I got married, had this three marvelous children. My husband passed away when I was 34, and I had three children, 6, 8, and 10. So life has been, I look at it as an adventure. I look at it as every day a happy surprise and just moving forward, because we all have things happen, and it's really how we decide to accept them and to move forward.
When he passed away, and I'm really looking at this whole issue of adversity in life, because I think people really feel like, okay, here I am. I'm, you know, really want to put myself together here, and I want to do well. And then some adverse event takes place, and they're completely off course. This is outside of something that's obviously life-threatening, but at the end of the day, you were a young mother with three kids at home when your husband passed away. I mean, how painful was that? How did you navigate the pain, the grief, you know, the shock of it all?
Well, let me go back and say it was shocking, but it wasn't shocking because he was ill for 6 years. And he first became ill when I was pregnant with our third child. And immediately you find that you have a choice. Do you want to thrive? Or do you want to be defeated? And so I had three children that I really wanted them to grow up as normal as possible, happy adults with a passion and a soul and a good foundation. So the decision was made by me, and then even with them, to say, we have a choice. We don't like this situation. It's very sad, but we have a choice. We can't avoid what happened. It happened, but we do have a choice how we react to it. We do have a choice how we move forward. And what it did was it brought us so close. And to this day, my children are in their 50s now, and we are all really close, even though we're spread out logistically, because one's in California, one's in Virginia, one's in South Florida. But you make that decision, and it's a day by day. I can't say you make it and you don't ever have a bad day. Please, we all have good days, bad days. But it's that feeling of, this is where I want to go. This is what I want to be. And I spoke with a woman that was a good friend about the time that my husband passed away, because I kept saying, how do I know that I'm going to make the right decisions? And she said, the best thing you can do for your children is be a happy adult. And I thought, what great advice. So it's about moving forward and never being still. I mean, it's just a life lesson for sure.
What if women say, you know, who are listening right there in the podcast land, they say, you know, she's just a happy, wappy person, right? She was born that way. She's lucky. She could always see the bright side of things. Well, good for her, because I feel crappy. And, you know, it's difficult for me to see the bright side because I really feel down on myself. I feel like, why does it always happen to me? And all of that kind of a thing. What would you say to someone like that?
And yes, it is challenging. And yes, it is difficult. Again, I'm not looking for sympathy, or I'm just going to give a little bit more information. When my husband passed away, he had been ill for quite a long time. And we lost our home. We lost the business. It was get started all over again. And so it's making that decision to reach out to resources. In today's world, there are so many resources, whether it's a spiritual resource or it's an emotional health issue. We talk so much in today's world about mental health. And so it's making that decision. Do you want to be a victim or do you want to be a survivor? What do you want and what do you want for yourself? And for me, it was not only what I wanted for myself, but what I wanted for my children. I wanted my children to grow up as happy adults and to have opportunities to thrive and to learn to love and to learn to accept that we can't always control everything. I can control my daily life sort of right now. I get up very early in the morning and my routine. But some things happen to us and we all feel like poor me and we get entrenched in this. And it's taking a step, taking one step. It doesn't have to be a huge step. It can be one step to reach out, whether it's something online that has to do with mental health, whether it's talking to a friend, someone you admire, and trying to just take that first step to get help. It's not walking the mile. It's taking the first step to say, I deserve more than this. My family deserves more than this. And I'm going to take positive action.
You know, it's interesting, as you've lived your life, as more and more obstacles have popped up here, there, and everywhere. One of the most interesting obstacles, when I say obstacle, let's say challenge, is this whole issue of we're all going to age. And we're aging as we speak. I don't care if you're 20 out there or if you're 80. You're aging, right? How have you dealt with the whole aging thing, you know, starting back when we really start feeling it around menopause and then beyond? You know, a lot of women feel helpless, hopeless, and defeated. They're like, oh my gosh, what up with the body already? And oh my goodness. And then my little cloudy brain and, you know, all the rest of it. How did you navigate some of that?
I think it's a fabulous question, and I don't know that I have the secret, but a few things. First of all, I don't really think about my age. I accept it, and I don't try to be what I'm not. I don't want to say, okay, I'm in my 80s, I should be, or I wish I were. It's like, I'm here. What's the best I can be now without? I don't want to look like I'm 20. I don't want to look like I'm 60. Well, maybe 75, but just kidding aside. I accept what I am and I accept my age because what's the alternative? And why not embrace it and say, okay, maybe I don't have a 22-inch waist, but maybe I have a lot of experience. What do I have to offer? What can I keep learning? Oh my goodness, there's so much to learn out there. There's so many things to do. There are so many opportunities for every age. I mean, I kind of forget until somebody says, how old are you? How old I am? Because it's not something that I worry about. And each stage is different. Yes, there's menopause. And yes, people go through menopause in many different ways. Some people, it's much more challenging physically than others. But I've been so busy doing at each stage of my life and as my quote unquote career has evolved and changed. And I've had so many amazing opportunities. And I feel like I've had 5-10 careers all within the same umbrella of what my passion and love is, that I just don't have time to worry about it. And I just am me. I don't think I'm an age. I just think I'm me. Does that help? I don't know if that makes sense.
You know, it's a mindset.
It is a mindset.
And I think people get very caught up in this chronological age thing. And that's really why I asked it, this whole issue of, okay, now, you know, at the age of 82, you cannot do all the physical activity you did when you were 52 or even 62.
Exactly.
Right? Or even 72. I think that that's something everyone needs to hear and understand. But there's something else too, and that is, I wish there were more examples of women, really like ourselves, who have kept the fitness thing going for decades. I think what we tend to see out there is more like one-hit wonders. It's like, okay, she was good to go for a short period of time. And instead, it's like, well, we can sustain this fit and healthy lifestyle for so much longer. Now, I want to pivot over to another thought in a concept here, Joy. And that is, what role in your mental health, mental outlook, your life, has staying physically fit meant? Like, I mean, it's all fine and dandy to maybe you're an accountant or, you know, whatever, but here you are, you know, you've lived a life, you know, using your body in the field of fitness, also your mouth in motivating and educating and the rest of it. But what is the role of staying in shape physically? How does that spill over into your life in general?
When I think about fitness and I think about what is my role and what capacity do I have to do things, because it does change and evolve, and you have choices plus different interests. I think the main thing for me is to be able to do what I feel I want to do when I want to do it. And that's always been sort of my elevator pitch, what fitness is, because it was my goal to do a marathon. I did a walking marathon when I was, I think, in my 50s or 60s. I've forgotten. I don't even remember, because those things, I've done them and I'm happy. But that's not my goal now. And then there was a stage when my grandchildren were young and I wanted to be able to play, get on the floor, lift them, do things. Now I want to feel that I'm as independent as I can possibly be mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so it's important for me. It's part of my DNA, part of my routine of life. I mean, it's just a life choice. And for me to feel that I really want to get up in the morning and move my body, and I'm thankful that I can. And so I've adapted as I've gone along, and I've always been that kind of person that likes to move. So my role now is just to be what I am and to be the best that I can for what I can control, because some things happen to people physically and medically that they don't have control over. So I feel very blessed that I am a healthy individual, but I've made lifestyle changes and choices most of my life to support that. Is it my genes? Are they my lifestyle choices? I think it's a combination of all of that. But to me, it's like, oh, I don't think I want to be like a super champion at this stage of my life, but I want to be able to enjoy life. I want to be able to do. I want to be able to be, use my brain and my body to the best of my capacity.
You brought up something so terribly important, and that is that throughout life, our goals keep changing as it relates to, you know, what's really important to us. You know, clearly when we're younger, and it's perfectly fine, whatever, assuming you're not an elite athlete or something like that. You want to stay in shape because you're attracting a mate. And that makes sense. So rock on with your bad self. And then, you know, you kind of move into a place where you want to be healthy for the sake of the family. So assuming you're having kids and doing that whole gig, right? I'm just being very generic here.
Yeah, of course.
And then as you move into your 40s, you know, let's assume the childbearing years are done, you're caregiving like crazy. So if you want to caregive well, then you need to be in good shape to be able to do that. Otherwise, you're the one who's going to get the caregiving. And then as you move into your 50s, you know, a lot of this is about the adventure. You know, I found in my 50s, it was a wild time of adventure, of just fabulous challenges, cool things that, you know, I did the Grand Canyon rim to rim, 26.2 miles twice in consecutive years, which is insane. And I had more fun than I know what to do with. I started the triathlon. I was continuing marathon. I was doing all kinds of wild things. And those years breezed by. I didn't even stop for 2 seconds. And so here you want to stay, to your point, in good enough shape so you can have fun and you could actually do a lot of cool things. And then I think, you know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, starting around the age of 60, all of a sudden things sort of kind of start changing. Now it's all about rut-row. My body is doing some interesting things, even if you're like in good shape, because you're going to start losing a little muscle. That's age-related. And other body physiological things are taking place, from your mind to your eyes to your, you know, it goes on and on. So now all of a sudden, it's about, to your point, staying independent and trying to beat off the demons of frailty. And you don't want to be a burden to anyone. So you have to be strong mentally and physically. So suddenly, after the age of 60, it's kind of about survival as you're pounding into the next decades. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I agree. It does change. And I think the biggest changes came, I think, after 70 for me. But I think when you and I did the DVD for Zumba Gold, and you were one of the amazing people that I interviewed. I was blessed enough to have that opportunity. I was 70. And I know I embrace how I feel now at this stage. And I just didn't think that age was a handicap. I just haven't. And of course, I don't even think of that I would compete with the 20-year-olds, 40-year-olds, or even 70-year-olds now. But I just don't look at age as a handicap. I think, what's the best I can be? And I'm blessed because I'm surrounded by wonderful people and young people and people that are teaching me all kinds of wonderful computer skills that, oh my goodness, is my brain going to learn that, let alone my body? I feel that I don't want age to limit me. But yes, you do change your feelings. As I say, I think I was in my 60s at least when I did my first marathon. Maybe a little older, I don't even remember now. I just feel that instead of thinking that age is a handicap, think of it as an advantage and try to do the best I can.
Why didn't you say that in your 70s, some of your goals changed? You said that...
But not even my goals. I think my body started to change a little bit more than anything. My goals, I mean, you would just laugh at me. And your people listening will probably think, what is wrong with this woman? And because I've had this incredible life and so many amazing opportunities, from the age of 10, I always wanted to teach people. Always. I wanted to teach dance. And then it became a passion with fitness. But just, I think my body started to change. And I thought, well, okay, it is what it is. But I try to dress appropriately. And I don't worry about, oh my goodness, well, it's this or it's that, as long as I'm healthy and I go for my annual physicals and everything is good. I think it's all good. So I think if I look back now, I think my body started to change more maybe in my middle 70s. Again, I'm pretty blessed genetically. I haven't thought of it as a disadvantage, and I haven't tried to pretend like that I can do what 20, 30, 40-year-olds that I have the wonderful opportunity to work with on a daily basis, what they're able to do.
I'm curious, what were some of the changes you noticed in your 70s? Because a lot of women are like, 50 and whatever out there, and they're saying, well, what is she talking about?
Well, I mean, again, like you're talking about muscle tone changes. So I started to change my workouts a little bit because I know fitness. So light weights, I mean, I work out. I'm a strong believer, as much as I was a dancer in the past, and I'm once a dancer, always a dancer and a fitness person. I certainly believe in cardio, but I believe in weightlift and using weights and in strength and conditioning, because I think that's what gives us the ability to move and get around, stand up, sit down, go for a walk, go to the mall, go shopping, whatever your passion is. And if you kind of embrace that and think, okay, maybe I don't lift 50 pounds or bench press that, maybe it's 25 or 30, or maybe I'm doing light weights and my daily routine is lifting 5 to 10 pounds instead of thinking heavier. I listen to my body because, again, I'm blessed to know a little bit about fitness and to understand the mechanics of what's going on. So I respect when my body is saying, make some changes here, instead of going for an all-out run, which I on occasion still do it once in a while, but not like I used to. I do what I tease my kids. I do little old lady jogging. I'm out on the road every single day. And I'm always looking at better ways to do what I'm doing that feels good with my body. If it doesn't feel good with your body and it really hurts, then you need to find out why. If it doesn't feel maybe so good because you're pushing it a little bit, you need to identify, is it because it's something different and I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, or do I need to scale back? So again, it's asking for the appropriate help. Fortunately, I'm in the business, so I kind of know that. But I would say maybe in my 70s, it started to change. Honestly, Pam, it's like I should remember the exact dates. I don't, because I don't focus on age. I focus on today and what am I going to learn? What am I going to do? Life is still an adventure, believe it or not.
Absolutely amazing. I think it's really important for people to just understand that if you're going to move through life appropriately and really enjoy it through your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I mean, girlfriend, you're supposed to, seriously, if you look at your lifespan, and that's just your lifespan, right? I mean, you're knocking on 90. And so you better enjoy the trip. And what you do need is a foundation in some level of fitness to be able to keep yourself independent. And that means mentally and physically independent. So many women are concentrating everything on weight, right? They look at themselves and they go, Well, we know, let's look at the statistics. All the way back, you know, to 1997, a majority of American adults were overweight. So that's not great. Now, according to the current statistics, if the trends continue to go the way they do, and COVID did not help, by the way, that whole COVID nightmare, that means by the year 2030, it is predicted, and that's just around the corner, it's predicted that 51% of adults will be obese. Obese means that you will have an extra 50 pounds on board that you don't need. That comes complete with all of the metabolic diseases that usually accompany that, from heart disease to diabetes type 2 and all the rest of it. So what's a challenge for people like you and me who are educating and trying to help and back and forth is that the start point for so many women is one of being at the very least overweight and much more usual, actually obese. Again, these terms are clinical. I look at this objectively in that regard. So the concentration is on your appearance. You look in the mirror and you go, oh my God, what happened here? Right? This is not great. And then it's all about, how do I get this fat off my body? Now, clearly, with the advent of the new drugs, the GLP-1s, the injectables, you know, things are starting to change up fairly radically, but I'm not hearing a whole lot about staying fit during all of that. And you're also losing a lot of lean body mass when you have no appetite and you're under eating and your vitamins, minerals, and the rest of it are not looking the world's greatest. So I think that what I would love to see, and see what your thoughts are, is a concentration on becoming fitter while also addressing better nutrition, because fitness alone is never going to answer this question. It's going to only help you sustain that which you're able to achieve with better nutrition. Because nutrition is absolutely, you know, foundational here.
It is, totally.
Women first get the wake-up call when they look in the mirror and they go, oh my God, what happened here? And then it gets deeper. And then, you know, eventually it's like, you need to do this. Look at your, what I've written about in my books as the power why. Why? do you want to get up and do your physical activity? Why do you want to join your friends on that nice hike? You know, what's the why? What's powering you through this? And if it's staying mentally, physically, spiritually independent and rich and robust in that regard, then rock on. But I think that women need to stop, try to get away from that it's all about weight loss thing and realize this is much bigger. Okay, now I'll shut up. What do you think?
No, I totally am with you 1,000%. You and I have had many discussions about women and aging and what health really is. And I totally agree with you. It is a combination of the physical. It's what we put in our mouth. I also feel that, you know, there's a lot of information now about meditation and a spirituality and all of those things together, however you choose to do that. But it needs to be, we're so used to snap our fingers and have instant success, instant no weight, instant face, instant whatever. And all the drugs, be they what they are, may not be my choice, but again, it's the instant results. And then what's the complication and the implication? To me, it's, again, take that first step and decide, what do you want for the quality of your life? And how are you going to take it? And you don't have to go out and do a marathon the first day. You don't lose 10 pounds the first day. It's what you put in your mouth and what you do and how you feel, and taking, not feeling overwhelmed. And I think that's kind of, our society wants instant results. I'm never going to be a size 2. I don't really want to be a size 2. I just want to feel good within my own skin. And that's really hard for us, I think, in our society today. But I think it's so important. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with all of your books, and I read every one of your books, and I've known you a very long time, so I know what your thinking is. It is, what do you put in your mouth every day? And so if you have a brownie one day, does that mean you're doomed? No, it means you have another opportunity a little bit later. I don't do anything radically, but I am consistent, and I am disciplined as far as that's what feels good for me. Maybe it's I grew up as a dancer and you learn discipline quite young, or maybe it's in my DNA. I also think you have the ability to make choices of where you go with that. So I feel blessed to have that in my life, but that is very much the story of my life. I'm up at before 4:30 every morning because I want some meditation time and I want to go out and walk 3.5 miles.
Well, listen now. Everyone, you should know where Joy lives is right on the damn beach. So when I went to visit her, to this day, I remember the beautiful beach walks we did and how much fun that was to do that with someone who just totally gets it. So it's like both of us are like low maintenance. We kind of get it. And, you know, we eat the same and, you know, do the same discipline thing. And
choices. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just amazing. But there's one thing you said that I know that a lot of women out there who are listening in the Her Podcast land are going, it's the instant demon, right? It's like, well, she dropped, you know, 30 pounds in XYZ in a very short period of time. And damn it, I want to be out of my pain, my mental angst when I look in the mirror. And this instant thing with the drugs and back and forth, I personally feel that it is a fabulous development that a medical condition like obesity deserves the same medical therapeutics that high blood pressure and heart disease and the rest of them have. So come on now. But the thing is, it's got to be an integral piece of a bigger picture of a holistic, healthy lifestyle. And so there's nothing instant about living a healthy, holistic lifestyle. There's a quote by Leo Tolstoy, the great writer.
Yes, of course.
And it's one of my most favorite, and that is, the most powerful warriors are patience and time. I'm telling you right now, I didn't run my first marathon overnight. I mean, it took me a while. I mean, I had to work my way up that little 5K, 10K, half marathon. You know, I had to slug it out, sweat it out, fail epically here, there, and everywhere. And failure is fabulous. That's what I call it. Failure is fabulous.
It's a great teacher.
It's your best teacher. So failure is fabulous. And if you look at it that way, then you say to yourself, what is the lesson I just learned, right? So maybe I was running too fast. Maybe I wasn't, you know, prepared well, whatever. But guess what? The newsflash here, the headline, is that everything requires patience and time because Mother Nature, through our body, is not going to make any radical changes. Radical does not work in a body, not even in a mind. Instead, you slowly but surely, gradually, practice, learn, fall on your ass, and just keep picking yourself up and going, wow, you know, that was interesting. Oh, I'm not going to do that again. Maybe gymnastics is not in my future, not at 5'9". No, it's not. So that's not happening. Just, you know, get that off the plate. So it's really interesting then to just hear from an icon like yourself, who's been kicking around, literally, starting when you were a Rockette, kicking around in the fitness arena, teaching and inspiring for so many years, and you did not have an easy life. And I want everyone to hear that. Every single person who I profile like this on the podcast and in my books really talks about the real challenge of adversity. And adversity is another one of your greatest teachers. It's like, whoa, you know, like I just got hit in the head with a life lesson 2x4. What am I going to do with that? And you said it. You said it's your response to it and being thoughtful about that. So I love where we're going with this because I want women to understand that it's possible to be able to adapt and adjust, be human, cry, grieve, do whatever you need to do. When stuff happens, especially like the stuff that happened in your early life and then continues, and then keep pushing forward. You know, your children were inspirational to you because you, a huge power why for you, when all of those things happened in your life, you lost the home and you lost your husband. I mean, just the whole thing was just insane. You kept thinking to yourself, I got to be there for them. I have to be strong for them. I have to show them that I can thrive and find out workarounds for all of this, that perhaps even spill over to your children, right? What do you think?
I totally agree. And you just touched on something else that I often lecture about because I was young and yes, I had these three children. I mean, I had a choice, but I made that choice to move forward and be strong and try to build a happy life. And I think often as people age, they don't have that sense of responsibility because their children are grown. They leave town. I used to tease my kids, you're such terrible children. You all moved away and left your mother. But the truth of the matter is that meant I did a good job because they were adult and could move forward with their lives. Believe me, I talk to my kids a lot. We have dates every week. But I think as people sometimes age, they don't feel that there's a purpose. Maybe their husband or wife or their significant other has passed away or gone. Their children grow up. And all of a sudden, it's now, what is my passion? What is my focus for life? And I think that takes some adjustment in maybe the 60s, 70s, 80s, where, okay, now what do I do? So it is trying to find a support group. It is trying to say, okay, what's important now that I am sustainable, that I'm healthy, that I make these choices each day. It doesn't mean every day you wake up smiling and laughing, but it does mean that you wake up every morning and you think, okay, I'm here. This is the present. And you know what the present is? The present is today, and the present is a gift. And I love presents. I love getting gifts. So if I get a gift every day of an opportunity to be, I'm like, wow, this is great. I get a present every day because it's the present and I get this gift. But I think that is also a time, Pam, when a lot of women are reassessing, am I of value? Is there a purpose in my life? And it sometimes takes time to figure that out. And it's trying to connect with like-minded people, being brave and stepping out and learning. I'm so blessed that Zumba still loves me and I love them because I am surrounded by wonderful people that challenge me to think, that help me learn new things. I feel like, oh my goodness, I got this little angel on my shoulder that's letting me keep growing, keep learning, keep having a purpose. I do think that with many people, with women, I think that is a very difficult challenge at certain stages of their lives when things change to find, why am I here? What do I do? Am I going to cook a good meal, a healthy meal just for myself? You betcha. You deserve it the most. You know?
Exactly.
Am I going to go out and exercise by myself, or am I going to join a group? Am I going to make healthy choices? And I think that can be challenging. So we have to find ways to encourage women. We're talking about women right now, most especially, encourage them to have that support group, to be brave. It does take a braveness, a tenacity. It is a conscious thought that you make that decision that you still are a valuable part of humanity, no matter what age, can help other people. You can impact other people's lives. And I think that's really important.
I love where we're going with this. It's so rich, looking at this whole issue of bravery and courage and what I love to call fierceness. You know me, I'm never one to, you know, pull punches. So I'll usually basically say you're badass and kick ass. Get out of my way. Unless you're on my train and supporting me, out of my way.
Watch out, world. Here you are.
All right, man. Watch out, girl. Hop on board or get out of my way. Because after the age of 50 and 60, you know, women especially start really kicking ass in a big way. They're like, what I got to lose? And then you'll see some just amazing transformations. As we're drawing this to a close, Joy, I just can't tell you how wonderful it is to see you. And you're thriving and you're rocking it with all those nice young people at Zumba. And you're 82 and almost 83 and surrounding yourself by all these amazing young fitness professionals and the rest of it. And obviously it gifts you with youth too, but in a beautiful kind of spiritual way. Just gift our listening audience with one nugget that you could leave them with. If they're sitting out there feeling hopeless, they look themselves in the mirror and they're like, you know, I'm of no value. I look like trash. It's too late. I'm just so down on myself. What would you just say? Just one thing.
Okay, so it's really difficult to say one thing. But if I had to say one word, it's the word love. It's loving yourself to be able to go out and love others and make a difference in the world. I mean, you said one thing. I could say 10, 20 different things. But I would say, look at yourself as a creation we have a purpose in life, and love yourself for what you are right now, knowing that you can change, you can grow, you can reach out, you can bring in passion for life and what you do. And when you love yourself, you're able to love others, and it absolutely is contagious.
It's a gift that keeps on giving. I love what you just said. And the way I interpret that is self-compassion. And I'm going to tell you something. Girlfriends out there, You are compassionate to the dog next door, to the cat across the street, to people you don't even know down the street, but for yourself, oh no, it is a stumbling block in your life. It's like, well, wait a minute, how can I be compassionate toward myself when I'm feeling so down on myself? No. Self-compassion is where it all starts, and then it spills forth. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Joy, you said it so beautifully. Thank you for being on the Her podcast.
And I feel honored that you would ask me. Thank you so much.
And now that I'm in Florida, I'm heading on down south because I'm up north in Florida, and you and I are going to take another damn walk on that beach. Okay?
I have an open door policy anytime, girl.
Okay. I'm on my way. Wait a minute. I got a go bag here.
Okay.
All right.
Go for it.
I'm out of here.
Thank you. And I love you.
Oh, my goodness. Joy, you're so wonderful. Thank you so much. And listen, this was a beautiful podcast, and I enjoyed it so much. Run on over, everyone, to iTunes and rate and review the show because I want to hear what you have to say about it. And here's another shout out to Solaray.com. Solaray vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. Find out about the Her Life Stage products. These are award-winning. And all you have to do is run on over to your local health food store, ask about the Her Life Stage products, or check them out at Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off. This has been another amazing Her podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, your host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in, being such an important part of our Her podcast community. Pop on over to drpeek.com to learn more about my work and social media. And join me every week for another Her podcast where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders like Joy Prouty. Like what we did today as we talked about all things, a living icon in the fitness industry for so many decades, as we share our wit and wisdom. Thanks so much, and remember that your time in this world may be limited, but the things that you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. Have a great one.